Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Personal Memoirs of Ulysses S. Grant, the complete annotated edition, presents one of the most important American military autobiographies in a form designed for modern readers. Written by Grant near the end of his life and first published in 1885 and 1886, the memoir recounts his early years, service in the Mexican War, and leadership of Union armies through the end of the Civil War. It does not cover his presidency in sustained detail, which gives the work a concentrated focus on military experience, national crisis, and command responsibility. This annotated edition, edited by John F. Marsalek, with David S. Nolan and Louis P. Gallo, adds historical, military, and cultural context without replacing the directness of the original text. The result is both a primary source and a guided historical document. Hastic, valuable for understanding Grant as a commander, observer, writer, and participant in the defining conflicts of 19th century America. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Grant uses plain prose to build a disciplined account of command. A defining feature of the memoir is the restraint of its style. Grant generally avoids ornamental language, extended self-praise, and dramatic reconstruction. His sentences tend to be direct, practical, and centered on what he saw, decided, and did. This matters because the prose reflects the same habits that shaped his military reputation: attention to facts, economy of motion, and tolerance for uncertainty. Rather than presenting command as heroic inspiration, Grant depicts it as a sequence of judgments made with incomplete information, shifting conditions, and real consequences. He explains plans, movements, mistakes, and outcomes in a way that allows readers to follow the logic of decision rather than merely admire the result. The style also strengthens the credibility of the memoir. Grant frequently writes as a participant who knows the limits of memory and perspective, not as a figure trying to dominate every interpretation. The annotated edition reinforces this quality by clarifying references while preserving the original simplicity. As a result, the book stands apart from more rhetorical military memoirs. Its authority comes less from grand claims than from controlled observation, practical explanation, and a tone that makes complex campaigns intelligible without reducing them to legend. Secondly, the Mexican War becomes a school for logistics, politics, and moral judgment. Grant devotes significant attention to the Mexican War because it shaped both his military education and his later understanding of national conflict. As a young officer, he observed regular army procedures, supply problems, battlefield movement, and the conduct of senior commanders. These experiences gave him practical knowledge that later proved useful in the Civil War, especially in the management of distance, transport, communication, and coordination among units. The memoir makes clear that Grant did not see war only as battlefield action. He understood that campaigns depended on roads, rivers, provisions, timing, and the ability to adapt when plans failed. At the same time, his reflections on the Mexican War include a political and moral dimension. Grant later regarded the war as deeply problematic in its causes, and this retrospective judgment gives the memoir more than technical interest. It shows a commander separating professional competence from the justice of national policy. That distinction is important because it complicates any simple image of Grant as merely a successful soldier. The annotated edition helps readers track people, places, and events from this early period, making the Mexican War section a foundation for understanding how Grant learned to connect military method with historical consequence. Thirdly, Civil War leadership is presented as coordinated pressure rather than isolated brilliance. The Civil War sections of the memoir show Grant thinking in terms of systems, not single dramatic encounters. His accounts of campaigns such as Fort Donelson, Vicksburg, Chattanooga, and the later operations against Robert E. Lee emphasize coordination, persistence, and the cumulative effect of pressure across multiple fronts. Grant does not present victory as the product of one perfect maneuver. He often focuses on the need to keep armies moving, prevent opponents from recovering, and align local operations with broader strategic goals. This perspective explains why his rise in command was significant. He understood that the Union advantage in manpower and resources still required disciplined execution, political patience, and commanders willing to act. The memoir also reveals his view that hesitation could be as damaging as rashness when facing an enemy capable of exploiting delays. His descriptions of failed assumptions, difficult terrain, and unclear intelligence make the campaigns feel contingent rather than predetermined. The annotated edition is especially useful here because Civil War command involved many officers, locations, and operational details that can overwhelm readers. Notes and contextual guidance allow the strategic structure of Grant of Grant to emerge more clearly: sustained action, unified command, and the refusal to let tactical setbacks dissolve the larger objective. Fourthly, the memoir links military conflict to the survival of democratic institutions. Although the memoir is not a full political treatise, it repeatedly places war inside a larger national framework. Grant writes about the Civil War as a crisis over the Union, constitutional order, and the future of self-government. His account recognizes that armies were not fighting in a vacuum. Military outcomes would determine whether the United States could survive secession and whether democratic institutions could withstand violent internal rupture. The issue of slavery also forms part of this larger frame. Grant understood the conflict as inseparable from the social and political order that slavery had created, even when his narrative remains focused on campaigns. This gives the book historical weight beyond operational military history. But readers see how a commander interpreted battlefield decisions as part of a national struggle over legitimacy, cohesion, and moral direction. The memoir is valuable because it does not separate practical command from civic consequence. Grant often writes with limited emotional display, but the stakes are unmistakable. Failed strategy could mean not only military defeat, but the collapse of a national experiment. The annotations help modern readers recognize references that 19th century audiences would have understood more readily, including political tensions, institutional pressures, and the social background behind military events. Lastly, the annotations turn a classic memoir into a more accessible historical archive. The complete annotated edition is important because the original memoir assumes a level of familiarity that many modern readers do not possess. Grant names officers, towns, rivers, battles, political figures, and military procedures that were closer to the lived memory of his first audience. Without context, even clear prose can become difficult when the reader lacks the surrounding map of 19th century military and political life. The annotations address this problem by identifying people, explaining events, clarifying chronology, and situating Grant comments in a broader historical setting. This does not diminish the memoir as a primary source. Instead, it helps readers distinguish between Grant memory, contemporary knowledge, later scholarship, and the larger record of the war. The apparatus is especially useful for readers who want to understand not only what Grant says, but why a reference mattered at the time. It also supports more careful reading of his silences and emphases. For example, the focus on military events can be better understood when placed beside the political pressures and social realities around them. Compared with a bare public domain text, this edition functions as both memoir and guided study, preserving the original narrative while making its military, cultural, and institutional references more intelligible. In conclusion, this edition is best suited for readers who want direct contact with a major historical voice, but also need scholarly support to navigate the world he describes. Civil War readers will find detailed insight into campaigns and command decisions. Students of leadership will see how Grant understood persistence, coordination, and responsibility under pressure. Historians and serious general readers will value the memoir as a primary source shaped by memory, purpose, and the late 19th century publishing context. The practical benefit of the book lies in its clarity about decision-making. Grant shows how commanders act amid uncertainty, limited information, and competing demands. The intellectual benefit lies in seeing military history joined to questions of national survival, slavery, political legitimacy, and institutional endurance. What makes this edition stand out is the combination of a famous original text with comprehensive annotation from editors connected to Grant scholarship. Many editions provide the memoir alone, and some focus mainly on readability or presentation. This version is positioned as a reference-grade reading experience, useful for both first-time readers and those returning to the memoir with deeper questions. It preserves the spare force of Grant's voice while supplying the context needed to understand why the work remains central to American historical writing. If you would like to support Ulysses S. Grant, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.